I said we want to do something special for Mahava Malka because of Reb Shaila. There's other tzaddikim that have the Yortzeit this week, but Reb Shaila is definitely going to have to be the focus because the reason why we've been doing so much Mahava Malka is because, is because of Reb Shaila. Let's hope that this keeps working. And Reb Shaila has been our inspiration. So I can't imagine doing a Mahava Malka and not focusing on Reb Shaila Karastir. So, my friends, we're going to speak about Reb Shaila. It's also the yahrzeit of the Klei Yuckers this week, but we're going to have to focus on Reb Shaila Karastir. If you haven't seen the movie about the Klei Yucker yet, I suggest you do it. Let's see if this is going to work or this is not going to work. Still not working. Someone tell me how to turn on the rotation on my phone. Aaron, you know how to do that?
There should be a screen button on there on the top left corner. Are they still there?
On the top left corner of what?
Top left. If you tap on the screen, you should see there's there should be a
there
camera.
There it is. I got it. I think I got it.
Yep.
I thought I pressed it already. And now it's seeing the other side. That's what I'm doing. Okay. I just switched it back. I don't see it.
That's not what I needed?
No, that just turned. I need to make it turn sideways.
Maybe just turns this one sideways, no?
No. See that?
Is it an Android or an Apple?
It's an Apple.
I don't know how to use that.
Rebbe.
Yeah.
Reb Eitan's hopefully joining us at 10:15.
Yes, I know.
Okay, thank you.
You might have to swipe up from the bottom of the screen. And you'll see like a lock with a circle around it, maybe.
I don't see that. Oh, there it is. Let's see now. It works. Oh.
There we go.
Thank you. I'm sorry, gentlemen, for my amaratsis, but how to do this. Okay. Here we go, my friends. You see me? It's good, Shalom. We're good?
We're good, Rebbe.
Okay. When Reb Eitan comes on, if someone can tell me if you're watching for him, we're gonna thank him personally for coming on. But in the meantime, we are gonna speak a little bit about the Heiliger Reb Shaila. Reb Shaila, that Mahava Malka was his thing. He championed the Mahava Malka and he's brought Mahava Malka's glory back. And Reb Shaila is a big tzaddik. His yahrzeit, I believe, is Monday. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Reb Shaila. I'm going to go a little quickly because we don't have that much time now that we know that Reb Eitan's coming on. I thought I had more time than that. Reb Shaila, by the way, as with many tzaddikim, had a relatively tragic life. Now, you think that someone who can do so many miracles, he was known as a miracle worker. He was known as the Chada Rebbe. Chada Rebbe is the miracle Rebbe. And he was known as there was like unbelievable miracles. It's not normal. Now, the crazy thing about it was Reb Shaila is not from that long ago. I was recently Menachem of a lady who passed away who got a bracha from Reb Shaila. She was just alive, like literally, you know, a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, max. I think it was a year ago. So there's probably still some people alive that saw Reb Shaila Karastir. And that's what's wild, because you hear all these stories about like the Baal Shem Tov, other great tzaddikim from long ago. But Reb Shaila passed away after World War I, before World War II. And that's one of the reasons they say that Hungary was basically untouched in World War I. World War II is a whole different story. But because Reb Shaila Karastir, now a lot of people are somewhat skeptical about stories about tzaddikim that did great miracles. Well, you can only be so skeptical because the stories just go on and on about Reb Shaila Karastir. And there's people who are alive today that know stories about Reb Shaila. I met one. It was stories about his grandfather in Hungary with Reb Shaila Karastir. I have a Talmud, Ari Kreisman, who also has a great story about Reb Shaila Karastir. There's lots of stories that people have in their family. So there's so many stories about Reb Shaila. So there's a limit to how skeptical you could be until you realize, look, if everyone knows Reb Shaila is being a miracle worker, there's got to be something about that. You know, there's a famous saying, if you believe every story, you're a heretic. If you believe none of them, so then you're not Bikaris. You got to believe something. And I tend to believe all of these stories because once you believe so many of them, then you can believe all of them. So here it is. His mother's name was Henchemiriam, Henchemiriam Steiner. Reb Shaila's name was Steiner, and his mother was an almana. Her husband passed away when Reb Shaila was 3 years old. I'd like to make mention of Baruch Hashem. We have a big crowd tonight, but I'd also like to mention my dear friend, Reb Eitan Katz, who I think just joined the meeting. Eitan, you might be muted. I'm not sure. If you could unmute yourself, Eitan, I'd appreciate it. And just say hello.
Shalom Aleichem, everybody.
Oh, my dear friend. It's great to see you. Thank you so much for joining.
My pleasure.
Reb Eitan, we didn't get a chance to speak, but you know that tonight we're celebrating Reb Shaila Kerestia's Yahrzeit. It's not his Yahrzeit tonight, but what we're doing is while we're in the Zoom situation is Matzah Shabbos. I'm talking about Tzaddikim of that week.
Uh-huh.
So Reb Shaila's Yahrzeit is Monday. Did you know about that?
I didn't.
So let me tell you, that's what's going on tonight. We want to do something special for Reb Shaila because what happens is we've been to Reb Shaila Kerestia's Yahrzeit, to his Kever. And since then, we've been making Lava Malka in my house every Matzah Shabbos with a lot of my Talmidim.
Mm.
So this has become like a big thing by us. And we were actually supposed to be Reb Shaila less than a month ago. Many of us were supposed to be there by his Kever. We've been building up to this, and it's been a little bit anticlimactic. So I'm thinking of something like really special to do. And the thought was to call you to help join us to make this a special Matzah Shabbos, a special Lava Malka. So that's what you're here for, okay, my friend?
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. I'm going to tell everyone else to please make sure they're muted, as I'm sure that most of you, all of you are. And I'm going to talk a little bit about Reb Shaila. We have till 10:15, right? I got a couple of minutes. You have a few more? You got a few more than that, Reb Eitan? Is that okay?
Yeah, of course. I'm
going to go short. I'm not going to go too long. But hopefully, if you don't know that much about Reb Shaila, you'll hear a little bit about him also. So his father passed away when he was 3 years old. And even as a little child, it was already apparent that there was something special about him. That they said when he would walk in the market past some people's properties, all of a sudden they'd experience Hatzlacha, and the Goyim would give him money in order that he should like walk on their property. In Shul, people would ask this little child that he should daven for them. And his mother realized he was little. Just after his bar mitzvah, his mother took Reb Shaila to the Rebbe, the Reb Hershel of Lisk, and asked the Rebbe to take care of the child. He said, this child is a very precious neshama, and I need someone to take care of him. There was no father. The Rebbe accepted, and he basically, for all intents and purposes, kind of adopted this child. It wasn't really a real adoption, but it was like that. Now, the Lisker Rebbe was a very special person. The Ksav Tsofer used to say about him, Lisker Rebbe, his name was Rav Tzvi. He says, when Chazal say it should be Uz Katzvi, it was referring to the Lisker Rebbe. So he was himself a very special person, and his closest Talmud was Reb Shaila from Kerestir. One time, Reb Shaila was talking to the Strupkov Rebbe, Reb Avram Shalom of Strupkov. And the Strupkov Rebbe, ever see Eliyahu HaNavi when you were by the Lisker Rebbe? So he said one time he was sitting up the bed by Reb Hershela. And the way it was is that he would, Reb Shaila, would to go to sleep. And deep into the night, the Lisker Rebbe approached Reb Shaila with a candle in his hand. And he made sure that Reb Shaila was sleeping, but he wasn't sleeping. He was just faking sleeping. And after he did that, he saw that there was a Yid who came into their room. And Reb Shaila said that Yid was Eliyahu HaNavi. Later on, Reb Shaila concluded the story that his Rebbe came afterwards to check to make sure Reb Shaila was sleeping. And he said to him, Shaila, are you sleeping? And Reb Shaila said, how could I sleep at a time like this? Eliyahu HaNavi is here. So then he said that the Lisker Rebbe was Zoicha to have Yili Eliyahu HaNavi. Anyway, what happened was when the Rebbe passed away, Reb Shaila was there by the Levaya and he was sitting. I mean, the Rebbe was basically like a father to him and like a Rebbe to him. He was sitting on the ground in the corner and all the Hasidim were there as they've just buried the Rebbe. And now's the time already that they should coronate a new Rebbe. So what did they do? They went over to Reb Shaila and they said to him, Mazel Tov. And they told Reb Shaila, you will become our Rebbe. And so it was, Reb Shaila became Rebbe. However, Reb Shaila wasn't accepted not everyone accepted Reb Shaila as Rebbe. And it wasn't clear because he came from such humble sources. He wasn't someone that had the yichus of other rebbes. So therefore, it was there were some people that questioned whether he was appropriate for being rebbe. Mordechai of Nadvorna was a person who pushed Reb Shaila to be rebbe, And he said to him, in Shemayim, he was already made Rebbe. I'm not making Reb Shai the Rebbe. In Shemayim, he was already Rebbe. And when, what happened was by his wedding, Reb Shaila got married. So Reb Hershela, so Reb Motchav Nadvarna was there, and he said to him, Reb Shaila, when you get married, usually people throw things at you. They bavorf. Bavorf is like they throw, you know, by an oifraf. So he said, I can't bavorf you because you have no father, you have no Rebbe. They both passed away. I'll bavorf you chassidim. I'm going to throw chassidim at you. And that's what happened. He became Rebbe. And he ended up going to Karastir, which was a little dorful, as a little town. And because of the fact that there was controversy, so the Yativ Lev of Siget told him, Reb Shaila, he said, go anywhere. It doesn't make a difference. You'll be successful even if you go on the top of a mountain. That's how special you are. And so it was. Reb Shaila went there, and he was considered to be a hidden light. He was a hidden light because the way of his avoida was to look very, very simple. And he did. Everything about him was very simple. The way that he davened seemed to be very simple. And he was a person, he seemed to be like, he used to call him Shaila, seemed to be a simple person. There's a story about someone who had come, Rabbi Yosef Goldman. He was one of the visitors to Kerstin, and he said, unimpressed. And he saw that the Rebbe just looked like he davened, even looked like he was sleeping when he was davening. You couldn't even tell there was anything special about the Rebbe. Anyway, it was by the Shabbos Day Suda, and this Rabbi Yosef noticed that the chulun looked like it wasn't hot. And he was very bothered because the doctors told his wife she has to eat hot food. But when he tasted the chulun, he saw it was really burning hot. So Reb Shaila caught his eye and said to him, the chulun is like the davening. In other words, he chapped that Reb Yosef thought that the davening was not, had no warmth to it. And really, it was really hot inside. It was tremendous what was going on by Reb Shaila. Anyway, Reb Shaila didn't say his own Torah, because he was very quiet about things, and he would learn the Sefer of the Noam Elimelech, and he would read it practically word for word. It says that his legs would shake when he would hold the Sefer of the Noam Elimelech, because he had so much reverence for the Noam Elimelech. Now, Reb Shaila would stay up all night himself. He had a gabbai who was in charge of putting cold water by his feet to make sure he would learn. Everyone knew Reb Shaila by day as doing chesed, but at night he would learn. His son-in-law would be made that there were mysterious voices coming from that room. Reb Shaila went in the room alone, but somehow there were voices. Not only that, he told his father, this Reb Shaila's son-in-law, Reb Shmuel Gross, told his father, "What are you talking about?" So he said, come, I'll show you." He came, and his father heard the same thing. He would be alone in the room, and all of a sudden there were voices that were talking. Reb Shaila was learning with someone who didn't come through the door. Obviously, we can assume that we all know who that was. Anyway, Reb Shaila himself was a person who had tremendous anava. I'll share with you one more story. There's a lot of miraculous stories. A lot of miraculous stories. We'll see if we have a chance to save them. I don't want to, maybe after Reb Eitan finishes, we'll do some more stories about Reb Shaila. But before we get to the miracles, I want you to understand the avoida, because just miracles, it's like, wow, we can do miracles. But this was a man who worked so hard on himself. So Reb Shaila, one Rosh Hashanah, Reb Shaila was going to do Tashlich. And it was getting darker, and the Hasidim were there. So all the locals, they all had respect for Reb Shaila, even the non-Jewish people, and they lit candles to illuminate the path for Reb Shaila. It was an amazing thing. Here he was, a Rebbe, walking with his Hasidim, and they were so proud of the fact that even the Goyim light the candles, and there was so much covered. And they began to sing as they walked up the riverbanks back towards the town. And it was like something amazing. Now, the Hasidim were deeply moved by this experience, not Sir Reb Shaila. As they walked, they heard Reb Shaila under his breath saying, "V'nafshi ka'ofer l'choltiya, and my soul shall be like dust." He didn't want to chas v'shalom get gaiva over the fact that there was so much respect that was being shown to this tzaddik. This is the way he was. Reb Shaila himself, when he would marry off people, there was one time, one of the people that worked in the kitchen, and the kitchen by Reb Shaila is a big thing because they cooked so much food. One of the girls in the kitchen became a kala, and Reb Shaila and his wife assumed responsibility for the wedding. And he was there on the other side of the wedding, was a different prominent Rav Aaron Yeshaya Fish, And the Rabbi Aaron Shain Fish said what he was impressed the most about Reb Shaila was that it was mamish no different than one of his own children. The way he went to the wedding, he was makabel on himself. The simcha, the way he was mesameach chasim makala, is he took them upon himself like one of his own children. That was what was amazing about him. The Divrei Chaim of Tzan says Reb Shaila was the Eibishter's kocher. He was the Eibishter's cook. He would cook for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the one who fed so many of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children. That was Reb Shaila. The avoid of Reb Shaila in the night of Yom Kippur, after Marv, he would put down blankets and pillows and he'd go through the room and make sure that everyone was covered. And when everyone was sleeping, if you noticed the chassid, whose blanket would fall over him, Reb Chaim would quickly hurry over and he would put it on him to make sure that everyone would be warm. This was Reb Shaila's, this was his legacy. Reb Shaila himself. Now I'm going to share with you just a few short stories of Reb Shaila's, his maifsim. One thing Reb Shaila did a lot was during World War I, he was a place where people would hide in order to get away from the army. You can't imagine what it would have been like to be in the Hungarian army. It was impossible to stay from in the army. So therefore, Reb Shaila was a place where people would hide. And he protected these people because he had a good relationship with the police commanders that were in charge in the city or to give them guests. But occasionally there'd be reports of government officials who were coming to do inspections. But because he had a relationship with the local police commander, it was never a problem. This time, they heard that he had this relationship and they came unannounced. They came to Karastir and there was a few hundred people that were there in Karastir. Reb Shaila said, don't worry, go into the base medrash. I want all of you to open Gemaras, put your head down, so don't say anything. Just put your head down, don't look, and don't say anything. Anyway, there were hundreds of people that took their seats there in the base medrash. They sat there. And the locals came in, they walked in, and one of these young men, Reb Tzvi Elimelech Frischman, tells over the story, and he said that the inspectors walk in, they walked into the shul, they walked around the entire shul, and they said, there's no one here. There's no one here. They said, let's check in the base medrash. He said, listen, we in the Aron Kodesh. He said, look, how many people can fit in the Aron Kodesh already? Two people? We didn't come here for two people. We came here because we were told hundreds of people are here. Let's see. He said, it's not Shaykh. There was hundreds of people in the room. They didn't see one of us. That was one of the maifsim of Reb Shaila Mikarastir. Another one, which I'll tell, and with this I'm going to end. There are so many stories about Reb Shaila, but I don't want to keep Reb Eitan. His time is precious. During the year of the war, Reb Yona Friedman was one of his chassidim of Reb Shaila. He worked tirelessly to get young men out of the military draft. Anyway, one day he had heard that there were Yidden that were fighting in the war. Listen to how terrible it was. There was a Yid from Hungary who was fighting against Russia, and he had stabbed a Russian soldier, and then he heard the Russian soldier call out Shema Yisrael. So Reb Yonah Friedman said, how am I going to fight in this war where possibly Chas V'Shalom I could kill another Yid? Because there was Yidden fighting against Yidden. So he decided, that's it, I'm running away. He ran away and he went to Karastir. Anyway, but he was a soldier already. So there for sure, the military supervisors, they were incensed. And he personally, the person in charge, personally conducted an investigation. And he concluded that probably Reb Yona went to Karastir and he went looking for him. He's looking for one person, but he's looking for a soldier. They came to Karastir and he saw that Reb Shaila was sitting in the front of the base medrash and his talus was draped over his arms. And it was like wide. So it could be that he was hiding someone under his talus. He came in, he walked to the front of the base medrash and he pushed Reb Shaila to try to like push him out of the way because maybe he's hiding this soldier. The moment he hit Reb Shaila, he felt this piercing pain shooting up his arm. Anyway, Reb Shaila wasn't hiding him there. He wasn't there. Anyway, unsuccessfully, after he found no one, he went back to where he was. He returned to a town called Motzai. But the pain that he felt in his arm wouldn't go away. And it was recurring pain. It became a chronic pain. He ended up going to a doctor in Umvar. The doctor told him, listen, this pain that you're having can spread to the rest of your body. You obviously have an infection and we have to amputate your arm. The soldier said, amputate my arm. I'm a young man, a soldier. If I don't have an arm, I'm not going to be a soldier. I'm not going to have any money. I'm not going to be able to support my family. I got a family. But what should I do? And he was so distraught. What's he doing? He spoke to some of the Jewish people and told him, I pushed the rabbi and then all of a sudden I got this pain in my arm and now my arm's going to get amputated. What should I do? He said, you have no choice. You have to send someone to ask forgiveness from the rabbi. So two of the local Jews of Karastir, they listened. They went and they asked Reb Shaila for Mechila, and Reb Shaila said, tell this army supervisor that if he promises that he will never harm another Yid, then he will be forgiven. The Jews returned to Mutzai. They shared the Rebbe's words with the supervisor, who was makabel on himself never to harm another Yid, and he had a refuah. My boy said, there are so many stories about Reb Shaila.